you got here with us today. And make sure I didn't turn my mic off. That would be a bad deal. Hey, so thank you for all you've been doing for our church. I just want to take a moment before we get started and just celebrate something that God did here this weekend. If you have been attending, been around, or just even checked out our Facebook page, you saw post, whatever, a thing about our Great Day giveaway. And that took place yesterday. And man, people, you know, we were able to serve a ton of people yesterday. And I just want to say just publicly to Missy Archer and Chad and their whole family, they really were instrumental in pulling that off. And Linda Whitley and Ann Whitley and Danielle and Renee. And just there were so many of you. I know I'm going to forget somebody. So just suffice it to say that if you donated something to our Great Day giveaway, if you came and served, helped set up, helped go through tons of clothes, you gave money, whatever, if you were part of that, just thank you for all that you did. We were able to just minister to a lot of families yesterday and to our community. And I just use the word proud, because I'm proud of our church and how God just used that to do some really cool stuff. And so thank you for all that you guys did. So can we just give God a hand for that? It was awesome. And so thank you again. But, you know, that's the thing about Christmas is, you know, that we're able to just, you know, there's so many people that need something. They need physical needs met, and when we meet physical needs, we often get the chance to help meet spiritual needs. And so that was just a way in for us to be able. And I know Pastor Eddie this morning is actually preaching at Richfield Baptist. We've sent him out as a missionary there today to just help that church. And so he's there. If you wonder why he's not here, but yesterday he and I were able to have some conversations. I was sick yesterday, wasn't able to be here very long, but man, we just had some great conversations about what God's doing in some people's lives, and so it was just awesome. But we're looking forward. This was our second annual, and we're getting ready to start planning the third annual here, you know, pretty soon. So get ready for that, and look forward to some other things that we're going to do this year. But today, in week two of our series Fear Not, we just want to continue on this theme of going against fear. Throughout the Christmas account, there's angels appearing at different times, and the very first thing they would say was what? Fear not, right? They wanted to make sure that this wasn't something to be afraid of, but this was something that was gonna begin an overcoming of some serious fears that people would have. And so that's what we're doing with this series, is taking it on and helping us to be able to overcome some fears that we struggle with. Last week we talked about overcoming the fear of doing what God asks us to do. And, you know, that I'm just to take on a task like ministering to people and collecting clothes and food and all of that. Man, that was overcoming a big fear. And last year, Missy and Crystal Morris, I still want to call her that, but they came and said, hey, we want to do this. This is what God said to do. And so, in 3 weeks, they threw that together, and then this year, they had a lot of time to plan, but it took some time to overcome. Are people going to give? Are people going to come? Are people going to, you know, volunteer and all of that stuff? And they went after it. And so we learned last week how to overcome the fear of what God's telling us we need to do. And this week, we want to move on and address the fear of being afraid of what other people think about us. And I think that this is one of those things that just really hits all of us right where we are. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. Or if you got your YouVersion app, go ahead and get there. It's the very first book of the New Testament. So it's about two-thirds of the way through. Just kind of open it up there and you'll be somewhere close. But Matthew chapter 1 is where we'll be. So let me get a little participation here. If you struggle and worry about what other people think of you, would you just lift up your hand? Hold them up. Lift them up. Hold them up. If you worry about what other people think of you, hold your hand up. Yeah, okay, so everybody hold your hand up. No, put them back up. So look around at the people that don't have their hand up. They're too afraid of what you're going to think about them to lift their hand up. Okay, just so y'all thought y'all were going to get out of that, right? So, all right, put them down. But we all worry about what other people are going to think. I don't care what you think and what how bold you want to be. At some point, you care about what somebody else thinks of you. It shapes how you buy your clothes. It shapes what kind of car you drive. It shapes what your house is, how it's decorated. It shapes just, everything about us we do, and we want other people to like it and be impressed with it. We're always dealing with it. Will they like the clothes I wear? Will they like our hairstyle? Will they think I'm funny? Will they like to be around me? Will they think I'm nice? Will they, all of those things kind of factor in to this thing about what other people think. And this week we're going to look at how Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, has to battle with either doing the right thing or doing what popular opinion would push him to do. Is he gonna choose what people want, or is he gonna choose what God wants? And we sometimes have to make choices about those two things. And we're gonna look at this part of the account where we see Joseph being betrothed and engaged to Mary, this teenage virgin girl. Betrothal then, this engagement that took place in this time was a lot different than what we experience in engagement. There, it was a binding agreement that pretty much, if you were betrothed or engaged in this culture, man, there was only a couple ways to get out of it, and that was if you either you divorced or they died. And so this was a serious thing that they took a vow that they took then. And so it was important. And so you had to understand that this isn't like, in our engagement, man, if somebody goes crazy on you, you take the ring back and you get. And sometimes you just let them keep the ring and keep on going because it's a good thing, right? But in here, you really had to, it was a big deal. You had to go through a very serious thing. And so let's keep that in mind, and let's begin to read here in Matthew chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, you read this, and you kind of have to think about the mindset here of Joseph and Mary. You know, what kind of an interesting thing. Can you imagine Mary taking Joseph and sitting him down and say, Joey, listen, man, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you. I'm pregnant, but wait, just, hold on a second. It's not what you think. The Holy Spirit did it. Now, can you imagine if you're Joseph? I'm like, girl, you need to stop fooling. That's how, I'd be like, what in the world are you talking about? You're pregnant and it's the Holy Spirit? Yeah, right. How long did you have to think on that one to come up with something like that? Because that's crazy, And so Joseph is here, and he's got to face something. Either this girl is crazy or she's a liar, right? That's got to be his only choices in here, because stuff like that just doesn't happen, right? There's, a little something that's got to go on for pregnancy to happen, and you're telling me, oh, no, it's just the Holy Spirit. Joseph, he's got a mess on his hands right here, and he's got to decide what he's going to do next. Because if this girl's crazy, I ain't marrying her. If she's a liar, I ain't marrying her. And so, what are people going to think? If I stay with her and she's pregnant and we're not supposed to be doing the thing yet, what's up? What are people going to think? What are they going to say about us? Right? And so here's this moment that if he's got to decide, what's he going to do? From her perspective, she's already marked, right? She's, this was a sin, that she would become pregnant out of wedlock, that it was punishable by death, that if it's not Joseph's especially and it's somebody else's, uh-oh. From his perspective, well, he's marked too. Because now everybody's going to look at him if he stays. You know, man, he's the guy that got the girl pregnant, you know, before they were married. He's the one who couldn't wait. He's the one that couldn't control himself. And now he's messed up. He's not going to be able to find a job because everybody's going to think that's the guy, right? You know, every time he pulls his donkey in to get the shoes rotated, they're going to be like, sorry, man. Can't do that for you. You know, there's always going to be something there. So what's he going to do? State of mind that he must have been in was pretty amazing. And so he's got to decide, does he stay or does he go? What's the best move down the road? Well, in verse 19, we find out. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, a lot of things I read and studied on it, just we're talking about that this was this act of doing it quietly was very noble and honoring. It demonstrated the fact that Joseph really did care about Mary. That this wasn't just a situation of, you know, girl, you're done, you're out of here. It was a man. This is the person that I want to spend my life with. He was serious about this, and so he was gonna step out and bow out gracefully, so not to expose her. You know, he could have had her stoned, could have had her put to death, and he chose to not do that. And so he's thinking maybe she can go. He could have said, hey, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'll let her go, and you know she can go to her aunts in Alabama or whatever. That all works. But no, he had to consider this thing, but he's thinking of letting it go. And so Joseph is about to learn one of those lessons that I think we have to get in order to do the things that God wants us to do. And it's this: that pleasing God often means disappointing people. That pleasing God often means disappointing people. That people aren't always going to get the fact that God has told us to do something and we need to be able to follow him and then do what he says. And that the fact that that's going to go against the grain oftentimes. It's a powerful truth that we need to understand, that if we want to obey God, if we want to be the person that God wants us to be, that sometimes people just aren't going to get it. And it's gonna create friction. It's gonna create separation sometimes that just is gonna be there. But we have to choose: do we please people or do we please God? And that's where it often leads us to. And here's how the story goes in verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Man, can you imagine this dream? The angel shows up, and he's saying the same thing that Mary said, and you'd be like, you know, I'd be like, dude, you're fooling too. You know, you got to be kidding me. This whole Holy Spirit thing? But there was an identification between Joseph and the Spirit and between the angel. He knew that this message was true, and that though he was considering ending this relationship, that there was something bigger at stake, and that he needed to be able to hear the message and be able to understand it and then live it out. He wakes up from this dream. I mean, think about it. You hear, you know, this angel's appearing to you, tells you this message, and that not only are you to take your pregnant girlfriend or, you know, fiance and take her as your wife, you know, and the whole thing, but now, you know, he is the Son of God, and that he's coming to save the people. Can you imagine what that moment would be like, that he hears this message? He's got all these emotions going on, and he's swinging back and forth. And if you've ever heard God tell you to do something and you knew it was the right thing, but you knew it was going to disappoint some people that you care about, man, what an incredible swing that is in emotions. You go back and forth. You know that if you do what you're supposed to do, that somebody is going to be disappointed. Somebody's going to be hurt in it. And here's Joseph having to make a decision. Does he run for his life and forget the girl? Do what people would do? Or does he obey God and stay and do the right thing? When we're confronted with opportunities to obey God, we're gonna have to choose. We're gonna have to experience these emotions and these feelings. So there's a couple of things that we need to understand, a couple of principles here that I think you and I need to really hear and take in. These are ones that Joseph had to understand. The first one is this. If you've taken notes, you can write this down. But becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Becoming obsessed with what people think of you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. You get so wrapped up into what people think that you totally forget the value that God has already put on you. And you know, I know that's a lesson that is sometimes extremely hard to learn, and we really face it as teenagers. You know, as you're growing up, you're in that stage of having to understand that what people think about you, though it's important, it can't, you know, if it becomes so valuable and too valuable to you, then now you've totally dismissed what God has said about you. And the fact that you are here means that God has breathed life into you for a purpose in this world. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think of God. I don't care what you've done or haven't done. You need to know that if you're here breathing, which I think represents all of us, some of you might not have your eyes open. I hope you're praying, but no. But we're all here. We're all breathing. So God's given a purpose for us. We're here for something bigger than us, bigger than just to live and die and pay taxes. It's here for us to understand that. But if we become so focused on people, then we're going to forget who God says we are. We don't have to keep asking, do you like me? Do I fit in? Do I measure up? Am I cool enough? Do you like what I'm doing? Can I be part of your club? Do you like my selfie or not? Right? You know, no matter what you do, you know, there's going to be people that aren't going to like your selfie. I mean, you can pose and you can get it from here, you know, and, you know, kind of makes my double chin stick out. So if you raise it up a little bit, and you get it up just high enough, man, my chin's all the way gone. I like that. And then, you ever seen the people that take selfies like this? Like the guys, like these teenage guys, this is so funny. Look, so this is all free. This doesn't cost anything. But they take and they pose in the mirror. But instead of looking at you in the mirror, they look at themselves in the phone. It's just kind of funny. It's like, look up, you know, to make eye contact. Anyway, that's a whole lesson in selfies. But anyway, so somebody's not going to like it no matter how you take it, you know. You take it too high, somebody thinks you're taking pictures of your cleavage. If you take it too low, they think you think your eyeshadow's not, I don't know, whatever. We spend so much time focused on these people. And it is important that people think good of us. Listen, don't ever discount what people think, because that you should be representing who God is, and it is important for that. But don't put your value in what they think of you as just a person, whether your value is found through them. Because here's what you need to understand. Becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. See, if you focus on what God thinks about you, you then begin to see the value of yourself. And then, you know what I really believe? That if you'll see the value that God has in you, other people will begin to see you with more value also. I just believe that. That if you'll focus on who God says you are and you'll live your life there, you're not going to please everybody. But I believe that if you'll live your life as if with the value that God has placed on you, then it's not going to matter what other people think. But in fact, they'll begin to think more highly of you because you'll stand on your principles. You'll stand for something that's bigger than you. You'll stand for something that we all have a desire in our body and in our soul for. And they'll begin to see you differently. And they'll begin to want to have more to do with you. And that's my opinion, but I just believe that the scripture teaches me that if I understand what God says about me, then I'll live my life differently, and because of that, I'll live it out, and he'll give me more influence, and he'll give me more opportunities to experience other people and what they can experience through him as well. And I just believe that. But here's Joseph having to face this lesson that we all have to face. We have to believe. We have to stand on something. You know, if you stand on one side of the whole political thing, you're going to make some other people mad. If you stand on the other side of the political thing, you're going to make some other people mad. You know what? If you stand in the middle, though, you're going to make everybody mad. And so I don't think you can play both sides of the game. And I don't think we even have to worry about the play. I believe that we have to stand on the biblical platform. Not the conservative or the liberal or whatever, but the biblical. And that don't always equal what everybody thinks it equals. But the truth is that we have to find ourselves, we have to be willing to find the value in God and who he says are, and that will set up our platform. So Joseph has found out this, he's at this place, and he says, listen, I value what God says more than what people say. He wakes up from this dream, and he's ready to serve it, and so you and I have to be able to do that same thing. How do we do that in everyday life? How does it play out in our everyday lives? Here's how we live for God instead of people. Two ways. Two things you need to understand. That if you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to be criticized for living a biblical life and doing the things that God tells you to do rather than what people want you to do, you're just not ready to be used by him. Because I'm telling you, you will be criticized for living that life. You will be criticized for making choices that point you towards your purpose and your design. And you need to be ready for that. And if you're not, you might want to stay on the sideline a little bit longer. Because it's going to come. My belief is that none of us should be on the sideline. We just need to understand the truth of this. That it's going to come. It's gonna be tough sometimes. It's gonna be hurtful sometimes. But the reality of it is that when we live that out, when we endure those things for him, then we're still gonna be better off, and we're still gonna be where we are designed to be. Think about the ways that Joseph and Mary could have been criticized. I mean, they could be publicly disgraced again and again. Every time they go somewhere, you know, people are gonna be whispering, right? You know, if they came to church, today, people would talk about them. We do way too much of that mess in church today, y'all. We're pointing out everybody else's flaws while we're walking around with our own. And here's Mary and Joseph. Mary was carrying the Son of God. Now, I know most people weren't going to buy that story. But there she is, and people were still publicly disgracing her because of that. If you and I just think that we're going to do something good and not get criticized, I'm telling you, it's going to come. It's going to be there all the time. There's always going to be somebody with an opinion. People whispering about her, you know, hey, you know, that's not Joseph's baby. They say it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah? Well, I saw his donkey parked outside her apartment at 2 a.m., and I know they weren't doing no Bible study at 2 a.m. You know how that goes, right? Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got something that they think can answer, and so it's going to be there. I don't know how it'll play out in your life, with what God asks you to do, but there's going to be a time when you're reading God's Word, and he's going to tell you to do something that goes against culture. He's going to tell you to go and do something. He's going to tell you to go and and begin to minister to somebody that's different. Maybe he's going to call you out of a lifestyle. Maybe he's going to call you out of the party lifestyle. Maybe it's like, you know what? I'm done with this. I've drank enough, smoked enough, I've done all the other things, and he's calling you out of that, and you're going to have to now go to your friends and say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't do that anymore. And some of them are going to give you all kinds of trouble about that. I remember when I accepted Christ at 21. So I had done all of my drinking up to 21 when it was finally legal, and then I got saved, and then I won't do it no more. It's kind of weird, right? But the truth is that God took me at that moment, and he showed me that the people that I'd been hanging out with, they were either going to accept me for not doing it anymore, or they were going to have to, I was going to have to move on without them. And that was extremely tough. And it cost me some of my closest friends, but you know what I found out? They really weren't that close because they didn't like me that way. They didn't like me without all the, you know, they didn't like it no more today because they couldn't get me drunk and come find me to fight for them. You know, they didn't like that anymore. And so now, you know, there was a rift in between me and them. And so the thing of it is that sometimes when God calls you out of something or shows you that there's something that you need to do that follows the purpose and plan that he has for your life to take you to where you can't take yourself, some people just aren't going to be able to deal with that. They're not going to be able to handle it. Somebody's going to get called into sexual purity and say, you know what, I know I need to wait until I'm married. And that somebody's not going to like that. You know, whoever's been getting the benefit of all of that ain't going to like that anymore. But the truth is that God calls you to it, then you need to listen and you need to follow. Somebody's going to have to leave a really good paying job because God's going to say, listen, I got something better for you. And you're not going to make what you've been making, but this is what I want you to do. And people are going to think you're nuts. See, somebody's texting you now and telling you. Told you. Somebody thinks you're nuts for being at church today. Because you made a choice. And they're like, what are you doing there? Tell them they ought to be here too. Put me on live so they can hear the rest of this. So, but the reality is that he's going to call you to do something, and not everybody is going to get it. If you want to live a life where nobody criticizes you, let me tell you what to do. Do nothing. Just keep doing nothing. Keep doing what you've been doing. If it's going against what God tells you to do, just do nothing. Nobody will criticize you for that. Right? Except for your pastor, who thinks you ought to have been here yesterday helping. But anyway, so I'm just messing with you. Tell him to come on. I'm live. Tell him. That's them saying good preaching. Yeah, amen. So I ain't getting none of that in here, so I hope somebody's texting it. Anyway, man, people on the podcast that listen to this are going to be like, what in the world is going on in that church? So here's the thing. If you want to, huh? I hope they listen. I hope they like it. Not for me, but for them. Anyway, so that's right. I should get over that. Anyway, where was I? What was I talking about? Anyway, everything significant that I've ever done in my personal life we've done at the church is, you know, whenever it's gone against what everybody else wanted to do, there's always been criticism. I've sat in leadership meetings at churches where people who looked and said, that's crazy, and you can't do that. You know, I've been called a dictator. I've been called all kinds of names because I just was willing to do whatever God told me to do. And I haven't asked anybody's permission to be able to do that. I'm not ever going to, because that's not the way it works. I will not ask a man's permission to be able to do what God's told me very clearly to do. I can't do that. I do believe, though, that he'll bring people into agreement when he tells me to do stuff, and that's always been the case. But the truth is that when we get ready to do what God wants us to do, there's going to be friction. Because Satan ain't going to like it. And he's going to try to bring stuff along to get you to not go with where God wants you to go. You got to be willing to do it. Sometimes you're just going to have to look crazy. And that's okay. Just be Jesus crazy. Just be Jesus crazy. Sometimes you're going to have criticism and resistance. Just go. The second thing is this. That extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. The Savior of the world was going to be born to this teenage girl and this young adult man, and they said yes to him. What if they'd have said no? You ever thought about that, how that would have went? What if Joseph would have just said no? I don't think he could after he meets the angel. I don't think he could, but just what happens? What happens when we say no to the things that God wants to do in our lives? I think he moves on and he finds somebody else that'll say yes. In this case, it was much different. But I think that's what he does. And I think the blessings that you and I were to get when by saying yes, they move on to somebody else who does say yes, who gets to see God do awesome stuff. I think we miss out so often because we're just not willing to follow God, and we're so much more worried about what other people think if we say yes. Try to get into the mind of Mary and Joseph. I mean, you know, you think about that. You're going to have a boy, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save the people. And then he kind of leaves it with that, right? Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? If you've ever watched the Nativity story, there's a scene there where Mary's talking to Joseph, and she's like, how will we know? How are we going to know he's God's son? What's that going to look like? And there's this moment where they're kind of thinking about it. I love how that played out in that. And that was a really key part of that movie, that where they show it, and it's this moment where they don't know anything more than what the scripture says, and that's, they got to go with that. And there they are. They don't, you know, they have no clue that he'll die on a cross. They have no clue that he'll you know, not be welcome in his own town. They don't have any clue that he won't have a place to lay. They don't know any of these things. But they just know that God said, this is what I want you to do, and they were willing to say yes. Sometimes, you need to see that you don't have to obey, or you don't have to understand completely to obey fully. You don't have to understand it all. It's not all going to make sense. I think God says, you know what, if I told you the whole thing, you'd never do it because you can't handle the whole picture at one time. I think there's things that God wants to do in some of your lives that if he showed you the whole thing, you wouldn't do it because you'd be afraid of the immenseness of it. So he gives you the little bit to get you in, and then he begins to work, and not to trick you, but to get you to a place where then you can accept the whole thing. I told you that I had no dreams whatsoever. I had no thoughts whatsoever about ever pastoring. Oh, and if you would have told me this is where I would be, I would have said no. I laughed the first time somebody told me that, and I would have never done what I knew. We started off. God said, got me to say yes to being a campus pastor, where the message was done by video, and all I had to do was get up and say good morning and goodbye, basically, and just love the people, and that's it. And then the doggone video kept messing up, and half the time it looked like a Chinese movie because the voice was saying one thing and the lips were another. It was just a mess. And so finally we got to this place and everybody kept saying, you're going to have to speak, you're going to speak. And I kept saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not what I signed up for. And then God finally said, oh, yes, it is. And he cut it off in the middle of the message and I had to finish it. And then from then it was on. And you know, sometimes there's just times where you just got to say yes, and then he's going to give you the rest of it. And as he does, it's going to blow you away. That he would choose to use you to do the things that he wants to have done. Missy, were you blown away yesterday? Speechless. Because people came and we just met need after need after need, and it was just amazing that God could do that with an idea that he just popped into their head last year and was like, yeah, we're going to do it. And they did it. And it's awesome. Sometimes you just got to be willing to hear what he wants you to do, not to try to understand it. If you try to understand it, listen, you'll sit there and you won't get anything done. You got to be willing to follow. Don't worry about understanding completely. Just go and obey completely and immediately when he tells you to do something. You have no idea what you might set into motion by just saying yes. Mary and Joseph set in motion the Savior of the world coming into our world, coming to be able to give his life, to show us how to live by being an example for us, and then coming and hanging on a cross and giving his life to pay the price for your sin and for my sin, so that through his death our penalty is paid and we can be forgiven of our sin. Did that for every single one of us. And not only that, then he's taken off the cross, he's buried, and then 3 days later, God raises him from the dead so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins, be restored into a relationship with God for all eternity. He did that for you and me, and it was because those two young people said yes. What do you need to say yes to let God do something great through him or through you? What is it? Don't be worried about what people are going to think. They're going to criticize you anyway. They're not going to like you sometimes anyway. You can't please everybody all the time. But hear this. You can please God. The Bible tells us that our obedience is what pleases him. Today, you don't have to be afraid of what other people think of you. But you should be very concerned about what God thinks of you. And today, your obedience is what opens the door for you to know fully that you pleased him. What is it that you need to do? What is it that God's calling you to do? Is it that you need to host a life group? Begin a Bible study? Some of you would be scared to death if you heard God say that. Maybe he's just saying, you don't have to teach, just open your house up. Let a bunch of people come over and hang out. And so he'll speak to somebody else who needs to teach. Maybe there's a ministry that you need to be part of. Just like the Great Day giveaway, maybe there's somebody else who needs to step up and do something else that God wants to do in this community through you and through this church. What is it you need to do? When all that was said and done, in one little verse, we see the decision that Joseph made that turned everything. Matthew 1, verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he went and thought about what the angel had said, and he decided to wait. No, didn't say that, does it? When Joseph woke up, he went and fixed a sandwich and decided he'd just do something about that later. No. When Joseph woke up, he said, oh, no, I better go talk to my preacher about this. No. When Joseph woke up, I better go talk to my friends and see what they say about it. No, it's not what he said. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. What's God told you that you need to do, that you need to go and do it right now? Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to give generously. Maybe you need to hug somebody today. Show me that you love them. What is it that God's telling you to do? Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. Do what God says, and you'll know what he thinks. God, this morning we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for allowing us to experience this account of how you sent your son to us. And God, that we can take what you did in his life and that you can help us to see how that applies to our lives. God, you've not called us to carry the Son of God. You've not called us to birth the Savior, God. You've not called us to be ridiculed because of anything like that, God. You've just called us to do what you designed us to do all along. And for some of us in the room, we've been so comfortable just doing the simple stuff because that makes people think good of us, that we've not put one thought into, God, what it is that you truly want to do that somebody might not like, but that you'll be very pleased with. And so, God, in this room this morning, as I look out, you certainly know more than I do, but God, as I look out on this room, I see so much potential. So many opportunities for you to do great things. So many opportunities for us to be able to reach this community more, to help people love you more and love each other more and love sharing the gospel more. God, I see that in this room. And God, I just wonder who it is that you're talking to and who it is that's going to say yes to the things that you're telling them. God, for some in the room today, it may be that it's time to accept your son Jesus as their Savior. Maybe it's time to come and accept the forgiveness that you offer through his death on the cross. To stop trying to figure life out on their own, to stop trying to do it themselves, but God, to surrender themselves to you and just understand that, God, you want the absolute best for them. For somebody in the room today, it's time to step up and teach, like you're equipping them to teach. For some in the room, it's time for them to serve the way that you've been showing them that you want them to serve. For some, it's time to give generously, like you've been telling them that you want them to. God, it's time to get over the fear of what other people are going to think about what you ask us to do, and it's just time to do it. So God, I pray in this room today that you'll just have freedom. You'll have freedom to move in the hearts and lives of all of us. And that God, that we'll be obedient. Not worried about what somebody else is going to think, but just concerned with what you think. So God, today, just have your way.